You know, my wife and I were talking here a few weeks ago, and we had the opportunity, oh, I don't know, 15 years ago. John Elliott's a very good friend of mine, and he was over East Africa. And we had the opportunity to go to Africa several times. And when you go to Africa, you have to pay attention. You have to pay attention to everything. It's not like being here, you know. Number one, you only drink bottled water. Number two, you don't drink bottled water until after you check and make sure the cap seal has not been broken. If you go to a British restaurant and you order a drink at the bar, they will actually, if the drink has water in it, they'll bring you, let you see the cap, put the water in it, and they'll bring you one that's frozen and let you check the cap and make sure that you're getting ice, and they'll ice pick it, cut it in half, and drop the ice in it. And it's necessary. The water in Mexico is nowhere near as bad as the water in Africa. But you have to pay attention. You cannot, when you go to church, you have to hide your Bible. And you can't carry it in this little zipper bag that's obvious. You put it in a box or a paper bag. We have to meet at a different time. So if you have a time set for services, everybody has to come in spread out over 30 or 40 minutes. You don't want anybody to know you're meeting. When you leave that meeting, you have to stagger when you leave the meeting to make sure that nobody realizes that there was a meeting. If you're walking down the street and you see somebody pacing you, you stop and move into a crowd where you're safe. You never walk down lonely streets. You just have to. It's a different than we normally live, and you have to be keyed up and you have to pay attention. And that is something that I think we've lost a lot of. We don't pay attention to our surroundings really like we should. I think of people, you're in the grocery store, you're walking up an aisle and here comes somebody and they run right into you. They don't see you. I've had people, not just kids, adults, standing on a curb, walk right in front of my car. You know, you people just don't seem to be paying attention. They don't seem to be focused on what's going on around them. Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verses 42 and 40 through 44. 42 through 44. Watch, therefore. That means pay attention. Watch means to pay attention. Watch, therefore, that you know what the hour of the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Be ready. Be prepared. This is a time of year we examine ourselves. And my encouragement is to not only examine yourself, but examine who you associate with, how they act, and your surroundings. Know what you are being exposed to and what's happening. Pay attention is a theme that I have been saddled with since I was 15 years old. When the Imperial Schools went to Big Bend, Texas to go rafting, I was able to drive down because I had a license when I was 15 and I drove a pickup truck. I owned a truck. And I went down 2 weeks early before the rest of the school came down for the senior trip. And I went for the sophomore, junior, and senior because I drove. And I go down 2 weeks early. We set up these tents. And you could not go down the river without a guide or being taught by a guide. In the Rio Grande runs about 300 feet wide. When it hits this canyon, it's narrowed to 100. When it's in the middle of the canyon, it goes through a 6-foot-wide opening. Water exceeds 100 miles an hour. There's no room for mistakes. To go down the river, they won't let you launch a raft. There are rangers at the launch points. You can go down the river with a ranger as a guide, and then they come back the next day. It's an all-day trip. Then you be the guide, and the ranger's going to be in the boat, and you have to get through successfully in front of him. And constantly pay attention to the water, pay attention to the rock, pay attention to the limbs sticking out. So, and then I drilled this into the kids when we lined up, and you're assigned people. You literally had a document with all the kids' names on it, and you signed the bottom of it that you were qualified to take that raft down that river. In the church there in San Bernardino, we went up 22 years straight to Lake Isabella, and I taught rafting, water skiing, and the Kern River kills people every year. And we went 22 years, nobody ever drowned, but it was a lot of fun, but it was intense education. You had to learn how to literally pay more attention than you're used to. And I seem to pick these things. When I go fishing, I go 250 miles offshore. There's no room for mistakes, you know. I hunt with a high-powered rifle, and there's other people out there with rifles. I've been shot at before. Fortunately, I saw him before he shot at me. Paying attention can be an important thing. My wife and I were going to go shopping. And they put a new mall in about a mile from our house. And we haven't really been there, just a few times. There's like, I don't know, 10 or 12 big stores there. So we thought we'd go shopping. And as we pulled up to the light, we stopped at a red light. There's a bunch of kids on the street corner. Smaller kids, not high school. We're talking middle school, 10, 11, 12 years old. They all have signs. And the signs are printed, professionally printed, on sticks. And it's against ice. Don't want ice in our neighborhood. And then I saw them. There's six people around the back. They've got black hoodies on. They've got a baseball cap, so you can't see their face. They're wearing body armor or bulletproof vests because the jackets are way puffed out. They have combat pants on with pockets that are full of hardware in the pockets. They all have a loop around their shoulder with a bag that's bulging with things. They have lace-up combat boots, all six of them. They're wearing gloves that are armor-plated on the outside, combat gloves. We went somewhere else. Didn't even stay. And of course, this is one block from the sheriff's station. There's got to be 300 sheriffs one block away. ICE and the FBI and ICE and our local, all you've seen what's been going on the last couple of weeks. There's been five major attacks. And one of the things that they've come out and said, if you see something, say something, or do something, pay attention. We're living in an age when this is going to become more and more important every single day of our lives. Not just our own awareness of where we're at, but what's happening in the world. And we know that Christ is going to return. We know that there's going to be a huge problems and things that beset us before that. We need to be looking. We need to be watchful. Let's go to Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2, and I'm going to verse 10. For we are his workmanship. That's talking about us in this room. We are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works. We are to be producing. We are to be working, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's go to Ephesians 5 in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as the wise. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. We're living in those evil days. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord God is. Don't relax. Don't let up. Don't let yourself be, you know, we have to be careful who we associate with, even. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I have a guy that used to work for me, and we went fishing a couple times. And I finally had to tell him, no. He knew I was going out. He asked me if he'd come along. I would like to have had help along. You know, I've got a 26-foot boat. It takes two people to launch it, two people to land it, and two people to take care of it at sea, minimum. But he's a person of the world. He uses profanity constantly. He always wants to tell me some kind of a raw joke or something, or make some raw comment. And it just isn't conducive. We have to be careful who we surround ourselves with. And this is a time of examination. But it's not just us we have to look at. We have to look at ourselves, our relationship with God in Christ, our relationship with others, who we surround ourselves with, and how we respond to what we're exposed to. These are all part of it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 13. Watch. We're back to pay attention. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave and be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. In love because that's God's way. In love because it stands out. To deal with someone in a loving manner and a kind manner is not common. Look at how the people you work with deal with each other at work. Look how people respond. Look how someone even acts on the highway. You're a little too close, or they move. All kinds of gestures, all kinds of things being said. We just have to be careful at all times. At all times. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5. This is an example of not paying close enough attention or realizing the depth of what's going on, okay? And I'm not going here to judge what was happening, the church that was here, but it's something that can happen. I've seen similar things happen in churches. So let's start off in verse 1. It is actually reported that there is a sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles. Even the pagans don't allow people to do this sort of thing. Okay? A man has his father's wife. And this is in the church. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. They're puffed up because they think they're being tolerant. And they're going to give this person time to overcome this or get away from it or whatever. That's the wrong attitude. You can't tolerate it. You can't allow it. You know, if somebody comes into church every week and they sit down in the back row and they're drunk when they get here, they fall asleep during the sermon, they snore all the way through it, they fall out of the chair, they get up and you have to wake them when it's time to go home, that can't just go on week after week. We would have to say something. And I'm sure that we would. But in this case, this is really extreme. This is a really extreme thing that's happening here. He says, for indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed. I'm not even there. He says, I don't have to be there. This is wrong. Pay attention. What are you doing? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit and with my power of Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for destruction of the flesh. That sounds hard, okay? But think of what it's saying. Deliver such a person to Satan. You throw him out. It's going to shock them. They're going to realize they are now away from the body of Christ, and hopefully it will change them. They'll change their attitude, and they'll come back. And that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they can repent. If they repent, then their soul is saved. If they don't, then they are given to Satan. But he's saying you can't tolerate this. You can't let it be in your congregation. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? One thing you have to, and this is why I say I'm not judging these people. This is an era when the average empire had 80 different gods that they worshiped. The Egyptians had over 3,000 at one point. Nobody judges anybody on what they believe in or what they do, except the church. So it's a rare thing. Tolerance was a high level. Like today, tolerance is being pushed. If someone is gay or wants to change their sex or wants to act a certain way or dress a certain way that's really strange, we would think, nobody says anything. We're taught you should be tolerant. Not necessarily always. We have a responsibility to defend what we believe in and to stand up for what we believe in. I'm not talking about walking out that door and challenging people, but within this room, with being with each other, we have a responsibility to support each other, to help each other, like the sermonette, to be able to back each other up. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. We recognize that Christ died so we can repent and we can move beyond. We can have a relationship with God just because Christ opened that door for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven nor with new leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. So he's written a letter. He said, don't be sexually immoral. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of the world. He said, I wasn't talking about the world. I'm talking about don't be around sexually immoral people in the church. You can't judge the world. They're not being judged right now. We're being called so we can teach them later. The world doesn't know what's going on. We can't judge them. Yet certainly I do not mean, with the world, or with the covetous, or with the extortioners, or idolaters, since you would need to go out into the world. If you want to see someone being an extortionist and being sexually immoral, you should have to walk out that door into the world, to people who don't know any better. And we're not judging them. They just don't know what they're doing. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. If you know someone is living this lifestyle, you have to ostracize them and make them understand that they're not living in God's way. This is not the way we should be living. For what I said, I judging, and also who are outside. Do you not judge those who are inside? We don't judge who's on the outside. We judge, or we examine, we pay attention to what's going on inside with the people who are supposedly living God's way. But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves this evil person. Set them aside, tell them they can't attend until they behave themselves. And hopefully you will turn them around. And then they can repent, they can take Christ's blood, and they can move on. Let's go to Ezekiel 3. And we're going to read 18 through 21. Ezekiel 3, 18. So when I say to the wicked, you will surely die. Now, before I start reading this, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to show you two more places it happens in Ezekiel right after it. We're only going to read one of the three different times it says this. But it's telling us that we are to be watchmen. We're supposed to be paying attention. We're supposed to warn Israel. We're supposed to warn other people that are of the same understanding that we are. And if you don't warn someone of what you see happening, their blood is on you, not them. Because if you didn't tell them and they didn't know, it's your fault. So this is a very important thing. It's an important concept to realize that if you see something going on, we do need to examine what's going on and be willing to respond. So verse 18, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give them no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked of his wicked way to save his life, that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will be required at your hand. If you don't help someone headed down the wrong path, I'm not talking outside that door. I'm talking about people that are dedicated to trying to live God's way. If you see someone making a mistake, you have an obligation to try to help them. And that's a very hard thing to approach. And I'm not saying this lightly. You can't come off as though, it's like someone in the world, and they ask you why you don't keep Christmas. This is not the time to act like you know way more than they do and they're stupid. This is a time to be gentle and just explain, things kind of got changed in the history and here's kind of what happened, and I really stay with this. This is my belief. This is not time to come off as overbearing and smarter than them and put them down. Neither do you approach a brother like that. Yes, then you warn the wicked so he does not turn away from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, then he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when righteousness, a man turns from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because you have not given him a warning. He shall die in his sin, and his shall be on him. So this is the second time it's repeating the same thing. And if you go back to the very first part of the chapter, it says it two more times. This is a warning to be a watchman, to look what's going on around you, and to warn your loved ones, your neighbors, the people that are trying to live by God's way. This is not talking about saving the world. We should help one another. We are all to be watchful of one another. When I give opening and closing prayer, because of my time in Africa, I occasionally will mention for God to protect people, they have to hide their Bibles, they have to hide that they're coming together. We have such a blessing. You know, Abraham's blessings on this nation are so enormous. We can meet, yes, someone drove a car into a synagogue and so forth. The antisemitism is ridiculous in this country, and they've been picked on for eternity. But just as Christians, we can usually pretty much meet together without being in danger. There are parts in the world, like I said, we got to hide our Bibles. We got to hide when we come and go. You just have to be so careful in other places. Over 100,000 Christians were killed in the last 10 years, specifically because they were Christians. The Ayatollah, I hear all kinds of different numbers on the news, but approximately 35,000 to 40,000 people were gunned down in the streets for standing up and standing against the Ayatollah. There's another 40,000 that he put in prison that are waiting to be hanged. So now we're talking 80,000 people is where this is headed. We need, it's painful to watch the news, and I know that. When I was younger, I didn't. I'm going to be honest. I didn't used to pay that much attention. I didn't like it. Everything I saw was negative, and I just didn't want to come home from work and no. But I realized that I need to pay attention. I need to know where we're at. I need to know which country's at, the other countries are at. I mean, we are in a... The president has stopped 8 or 9 wars. Great. We're in one that we're totally superior to. Hopefully that'll work out. But you still have... Russia's still trying war with the Ukraine. Russia wants to take the rest of Europe. Europe isn't ready. They haven't had an army for years. They depended on us. China wants to take Thailand. North Korea wants to take South Korea. The whole world's on the verge of war. And we know this. We were warned about this. We know it's coming. We have to pay attention. We need to be aware of what's happening, what's going on. Let's turn to Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6, and I'm going to actually pick it up in verse 17. And take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. We should always be deep in prayer. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful, looking at what is going on around us. To this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, the utterance may be to me that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mysteries of the gospel. This is what we do. We preach the gospel. We're supporting the men who preach the gospel. He is saying, this is what our job is. This is what your job is. My job is to go out and preach the gospel. Pray for me. We should pray for the people at headquarters. We should pray for the program and the literature and our website and so forth. 1 Corinthians 16. First Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Why love? Because God is love. We are to exude what God is. We are to set the example that we are trying to be like God. Don't be harsh with people. When somebody cuts you off in the freeway, do not give them hand signals. We have to refrain. You know, it's Hebrews 1 somewhere it says the avoid the sin that overtakes you so easily. We all have something that we have a weakness that sometimes slips up on us, don't we? Or in my case, maybe a lot of things that slip up. I don't know. So now let's go to 15:33. 32, I'm sorry. In the matter of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. What advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let me eat, drink, for tomorrow we may die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. In other words, the world doesn't understand that there's something else out there. And there's a lot of people, and I've heard this so many times from my employees, men that work for me, they're going to go out for a weekend and have a really good time, and it's eat, drink, and be merry, and have a good time, and who cares if I make it back on Monday? That's the attitude of the world. That's not to be our attitude. That's because they don't know any better. They don't know there's a next life here. They don't know there's another chance. But the day is coming when Christ returns. Every single person on the earth will be given his Holy Spirit. And every single person will be able to understand what we say. And we will be there to teach them. That's what the first fruits are for. The world's not our enemy. The people outside that door are not our enemy. They're there for us. We've been called to help and save them later on. When Christ can give them and God can give them the Holy Spirit that we have, that we're able to understand with. Let's go to 1 Peter 5 and let's start in verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's not now. It'll be later. We will be the first fruits. We will be exalted in time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. The same word here that translates as vigilant is watchful. So be sober, be watchful, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan knows what's happening. Sometime when you look back at the miracles that Christ did, and when Christ was casting out demons, what was the first thing the demons always said? You're going to attack us now? It isn't time yet. You're going to throw us in the darkness and chain us now? That isn't supposed to be happening yet. They know what's happening. They know what's going to happen. They know they're going to be chained. They know they're going to lose. They know what the Bible says. They're misled. They're not aware of what's going to happen. They just don't believe it. They believe Satan's going to lead them on to victory. And it's not going to happen. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brother in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Make you perfect. You cannot build character in a vacuum. It's the way it is. You have to be tested. You have to go through trials. You have to go through difficult things. It's the only way that you can build holy, righteous character. And that's what we all need. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Because him, Christ, gave us this door, gave us this release, gave us the ability to repent and to be able to come to God. God couldn't even listen to us if Christ had not given up his life. Do you realize we couldn't even talk to God? He's perfect. He couldn't have anything to do with us. The only way God can hear our prayers is our prayers are washed with Christ's blood. Our sins are covered by Christ's blood. Otherwise, we couldn't even pray to God. It wouldn't even be possible. I went to Romans 16 already. I must have done that twice. Let's go to Matthew 7. And verse 1. And we're going to read probably 1, 2, and 3. I'm going here because I don't want what I'm trying to convey today to be misunderstood as judging people. Okay? Examine. Be aware of what's going on around you. Know where you stand with God in Christ and the people that you associate with. It doesn't mean judge them, okay? And that's, I know it's a fine line, but it's a line as a Christian we have to walk. Verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. You know, Matthew 6, the prayer, the only admonition after the Lord's Prayer. Judge other people. Don't judge other people or you'll be judged as you judge them. If you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you. Period. It's the only admonition after the Lord's Prayer. Christ gave the Lord's Prayer. That's the only admonition that was given afterwards. Don't judge each other. So judge not that you be not judged. With what judgment you judge, you will be judged. However harsh you are in someone else, that's how harsh God is going to be with you. Otherwise, God has limitless grace and forgiveness. Don't close that door. With the measure you use, and it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? I love this. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you cannot see the plank in your own eye? We all have flaws, and most of us know what most of our flaws are. If you're going to help somebody else, try to help somebody else, you got to be really, really careful, because we're all vulnerable. We've all made mistakes. We are going to make mistakes, but we are told to pay attention to what's going on and to help one another and to be aware of what's going on around us and with the people we associate with. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says in the later times that some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. We went through that. Actually, the church has gone through it several times if you go back far enough. But we were all tested. We had leaders who went the wrong direction. And those of us in this room were able to be aware and pay attention and not be led away. Speaking lies and hypocrisy and having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. I know some of the people that left that I was really close to, my mentors. Some of my mentors quit keeping the Sabbath and the holy days. How has that happened? And when you try to talk to them about it, it's like they forgot it. They've deceived themselves beyond understanding. It's incredible. It's incredible. 2 Timothy 3 and verses, I don't have this marked. Why is it here then? 2 Timothy 3. Oh, because I'm in 1 Timothy still. 3. We're going to read 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, and men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, lovers of money. You know, I remember when I was a kid growing up, and my great-grandfather told me, don't put things on credit cards. Don't buy things on debt. Just save the money up and buy it. Be patient. Can you imagine what the economy of this world would be like if everybody actually didn't have credit cards and didn't use them and didn't go in debt? Boasters and proud blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. This is a list of what the world outside that is not even trying to be a Christian, the average person walking the street that isn't even trying in any way to control themselves whatsoever, which is about 80% of the people that I've had work for me in the last 41 years. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. I have had to terminate people because they can control their temper, throwing hammers across the room and throwing wrenches back and forth and knocking dents in people's cars because they can't control their own selves. It's common. You know, Satan has convinced every nation on the face of the earth that they're all fighters. The Irish are fighters. The Italians are fighters. The Scots are fighters. The British. Every nationality on the face of the earth brags about we're fighters. We don't get pushed around. We stand up and fight. Virtually every nation on the earth brags about this. That's Satan. That's Satan pushing that thought. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. People focused on doing what they want and having a good time rather than thinking about self-control, love, patience, paying attention to help other people and what's going on around them. That's the big difference. That's the big short that we're dealing with here. Let's go to Matthew 18. And verse 15. And this is talking about in the church. So we're not talking about dealing with people outside. We're talking about dealing with each other within the church. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him of his fault between you and him. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. Don't go talking to other people. Don't gossip. Don't turn this thing into something more than it is. Take a chance. Give it a chance. If you think someone's offended you, go and talk to them. Just go and talk to them. 30 or 40 years ago, I had a woman that was kind of snippy to me one time. And I little old lady, sweet little old lady, about this big. And she had only been really sweet. And I came to church and I talked to her and she kind of turned away from me. I couldn't understand what was going on. So I went to her, I said, "What's wrong? Last week you ignored me. I talked to you and you looked right over the top of me and you didn't even hear me. Well, last week I had someone breaking into cars in a parking lot and I'm on security and I'm trying to find the people who own the cars that are being broken into. I did not see her. I didn't. I didn't do it on purpose. But fortunately, I found out and I apologized and I explained to her what's going on. Well, then she understood. Now we're all good. We're back to square one again. That's how easy it can be. That's how easy it can be. But if you will not hear, then take him to one or two more. And of course, if you can't get a couple people to hear, then now we have to involve the ministry. We don't want strife between us in this room. We want to love one another. We want to care for one another. We want to be able to help each other. We can't have little petty things going on that we're upset about. We need to make it known, clear it, and move on. Move on. We have a big job in front of us and a lot that we really need to accomplish and do. Matthew 6. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites in the synagogues. What they used to do, the Jews would have a container, and then there were people that would get all the small coins they could. Instead of getting one or two coins would be the amount they're going to give, they get a whole big handful of coins and pour them into there so it sounds like you're giving a whole bunch. Well, whoever saw that, that's all the recognition you're going to get. I like the way when I was in Africa, we went to take up an offering. And they have a box in front of the podium. And after the service, everybody walks by and quietly reaches down into the box and releases whatever's in their hand. You don't hear it, you don't see it, it's not counted. When it's all done, there's no names, there's no envelopes, nothing. Nobody knows what happened. Nobody sees who gave how much. I like that. I like that. I know we need it for receipts and stuff here, but for those people, I mean, when a family of four makes $250 a year, you're not worried about the dollar and a half you just put in that box. It's not something you can write off in that country anyway. So I wanted to just bring about the thought and the concept that we need to help one another. We need to be aware of one another. We need to be aware of what goes on around us and what we do and what we believe. And to be careful how we treat one another and be watchful to help one another when we need it. And to be willing to help one another and be aware. And when you're out there in this day and time, pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on around you. If you see something, do something, call somebody. This is going to become more and more important as this world goes further and further down the drain.